Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Ben Moss, Litigation Finance Portfolio Advisor at Orchard Global Asset Management. Orchard is a UK-based alternative asset manager and advisor focused on structured credit, specialty lending, and opportunistic fixed income investments, as well as litigation finance. Prior to Orchard, Ben worked as a lawyer at Linklaters and Pinsent Masons before switching to financial and commercial roles at Barclays and Lloyds Bank. He also has prior funding experience at a leading litigation funder. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for the invite, John. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. Let's start by discussing Orchard's foray into litigation funding. So when did Orchard first enter this space? Why don't you tell us what the investment strategy is, how that strategy has evolved over time?
Sure. You introduced the wider Orchard business there. Orchard was founded back in 2005. It has a presence not only in the UK, but also across North America and Singapore, and currently has assets under management of around $6.5 billion. And since its inception, the business has consistently demonstrated very strong performance across its multiple funds. And that meant that it really was an attractive platform from which to launch a dedicated litigation finance strategy as part of its existing specialty lending business. And it did that in late 2015. Since then, we've invested in more than 100 opportunities across the UK, the US, mainland Europe, and Australia. And our investment strategy sharply focuses on claims with small to medium-sized legal budgets. And I'd say the sweet spot is around an investment of between $1 and $3 million. And our investment thesis here is that this segment includes claims with a strong settlement dynamic due to their size, while still also offering favorable economics to the funder. And we also believe that funding these mid-market size claims also ensures quite a highly diversified portfolio of assets because it consists of a large number of separate claims. But that said, you know, we do retain the flexibility to invest in significantly larger opportunities if the, you know, the opportunity presents itself. And we've all seen, you know, the for example, the UK class action space and the way it's developed so rapidly. And we're very much alive to opportunities to fund competition claims through the Competition Appeal Tribunal or data protection claims through Section 19.6 representative actions. And our team actually historically has top-tier expertise in working on landmark collective actions, either gained within the law firms litigating those claims, or in my case, at a leading funder funding them. And as you'd expect, you know, we've seen a very wide range of resolution size at Orchard. You know, cases have resolved at levels ranging from the hundreds of thousands of dollars to, you know, well north of $100 million. And for our investment horizon, you know, we're targeting opportunities that we reasonably expect should resolve within around 3 years. Although certain investments, depending on the claim type, and especially once you're in the group claim territory and perhaps claims are more complex, or depending on the deal structure, you know, these claims may warrant a different return profile and a longer duration. I'd probably also point out that our approach is really very finance-led. These are financial products to us at the end of the day. But of course, this approach is then coupled with legal analysis and deal structuring expertise. But essentially, what we're committed to here at Orchard is we want to build a portfolio that is diverse, that's granular, but also that is grounded in these financially driven insights into the investment selection and the overall portfolio design.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of that more in just a moment. But I want to ask, broadly speaking, about the industry itself. You know, this is a very crowded space right now, or it's getting more crowded, I would say, when it's getting relatively more crowded than it has been in previous years, the commercial litigation funding market, that is. How is Orchard positioning itself within that market? What is the differentiation strategy here?
Good question. I mean, it's definitely getting more crowded. And, you know, I suppose one way of looking at it is to say that growth, increased competition, innovation, they're all linked. And so new entrants don't necessarily concern us. And actually, we would say that they are symptomatic of, you know, an attractive industry and one perhaps that's, you know, yet to reach its peak. But in any event, you know, we hope that we are uniquely positioned in the market, you know, as a multi-strategy asset manager with its own dedicated and well-established litigation finance team. And if I can just highlight a few elements of our offering that I think are relevant. Firstly, one big differentiator is obviously we can point to our existing and very positive track record. Our experience in the market over the last 5 years or so has allowed us to establish a reputation in providing innovative financing solutions to claimants, to law firms, and also to develop very, very strong origination networks. And we lead with the finance forward approach that I've spoken about in my response to the first question. And that's perhaps different to the strategy of some of the dedicated pure play litigation funders may have been founded by litigators rather than by finance professionals. I have a financial background myself, which postdates my initial legal practice. And we've also access to, you know, the top tier financial and structuring expertise at Orchard on Tap as part of the wider business. And if you combine that mindset with, you know, the legal expertise of our team, we think we can bring this, you know, we'd say unparalleled mix of both the financial and the legal expertise to each case that we consider for investment. And just sort of flowing on from that, that the result of that is that we've actually no set criteria as to the ratio of, for example, claim value to budget when we're assessing a case. If we do like a case and we want to invest in it, we'll do what we can to make the economics work for all involved. And yeah, of course, some of our pricing models will adopt the traditional 1-10 ratio or the pricing of the 2-3 times multiple, but we will very, very frequently enter alternative bespoke arrangements. And I'd also highlight the mid-market focus, those size cases that I spoke about is also a differentiating strategy. Many funders, we feel, have been pushed to the upper or the next step up segment of the market where they pursue on single case investments, case budgets of $5 million or more. And that may result in less granular portfolios overall, whereas we've continued to focus on cases with these mid-size settlement objectives. But that said, our largest single case investment is well over $10 million. And we've made portfolio and specialty lending arrangements, you know, the in excess of double that. So we do also have an ability to consider a range of budgets. And I feel that further, you know, may set us apart from other providers of litigation finance. And I think there's probably just two more points that I should make here. We do pride ourselves not just on, you know, flexibility and creativity, but also on speed. We really look to make that initial call definitively and quickly, and we avoid the inertia of, you know, the repeated back and forth information requests that you can otherwise get. We'll really try to notify the claimant or the law firm that's introducing the opportunity with a quick no if we don't like the opportunity. We appreciate how frustrating it can be when a request is made and it just goes off into the ether and no response is given within a period of time. And often that can be to the detrimental effect and to prejudice the case itself that's aiming to be litigated. If we do like an opportunity, however, our typical timeline from agreement on pricing and throwing out indicative terms to signing and actually having the funding in place is 3 weeks. And though deals can and are concluded and have been concluded in a shorter time frame. And just finally, repeat business is important to us. It represents roughly around 70% of our claim origination is from repeat business. So, as you know, it's so important to us to focus on these strong, sustainable and collaborative relationships with our law firm partners and also with our co-funders. But overall, you know, we're connected with the industry, we'd say even, but we're extremely well connected within the industry. And we benefit now from this network of trusted contacts. And we can leverage off them to ensure that the prospective claimants have access to, in some cases, the best legal minds or the skill sets of other specialty industry providers, such as, for example, AT insurers.
Yeah, and just drilling down into the cases that you're looking at a bit more, are you focusing on certain case types, like legal sectors, for example, or certain jurisdictions? And you mentioned both single case and portfolio funding. So I assume you're looking at both of those options, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. In terms of the types of claims that we look at, I mean, we've got a broad mix of commercial cases across the typical heads of claims that you know one might expect: breach of contract, negligence, fraud, misrepresentation. We will fund, you know, hard intellectual property claims, patent claims, but only provided we can partner with those who have the specialist expertise, because we just don't have that expertise in-house. So we need to have that partnership in place. But we have done that, and we've done that successfully. But as you say, alongside bespoke single case financing, we've provided, you know, tailored solutions for portfolio funding, for law firm finance. And with the law firms, whether that's working capital, but also startup capital for new entrants to the market and boutique spin-offs. And we actually see that these often really require increasing volumes of working capital, not only to launch, to get them off the ground, but also to allow them to continue to offer, you know, the competitive and innovative fee structures that they've effectively based their strategy on. We've invested in group claims, as mentioned, and we've also actually invested directly into online funding marketplaces and other atypical structures. And in terms of jurisdiction, I mean, overall, you know, we're open and we'll consider jurisdiction in nearly all common law jurisdictions and most EU states. However, a primary jurisdiction for us, rather, remains the UK. And then we sort of look to strategically diversify across North America and across the EU and Australia. And, you know, England and Wales really does continue to present the compelling opportunity for us. It's maintained its status as a preeminent jurisdiction for the resolution of cross-border disputes. We don't really expect that to change, you know, whether due to Brexit or otherwise. We've got a local market here in London that's dominated by the world's largest law firms, many of whom obviously have a global presence too. But in parallel, as I've touched upon, there's also an increasing number of alternative legal service providers entering the market, and that results in this demand for startup and working capital funding. We know that litigation in the UK is expensive, particularly given the loser pays adverse cost risk that accrues under that principle. And there's going to be continued economic pressure on claim holders, compounded by the downturn resulting from the pandemic. The economic uncertainty as a whole is acting as a catalyst for the uptake of litigation finance solutions, and that may be globally, but we've certainly seen that in England and Wales, and we expect this trend to continue. But in Europe, just looking further afield, you know, we see an increased awareness, appetite, and adoption of litigation finance. And, you know, we're not alone in seeing significant opportunity in, for example, the Netherlands, which has already seen, I mean, it's coming out to over a decade now of major group actions in the security space, and also Germany. And there are rapidly developing class action regimes which benefit from, you know, a raft of pro-claimant EU legislation, such as the Antitrust Damages Directive and the Collective Redress Directive. The US market, look, litigation finance, as you all know, is a very well-developed tool, familiar with most law firm litigation practices over there. It has absolutely flourished alongside the no-win, no-fee lawyer culture, which is perhaps a little surprising. And it represents the largest legal market globally. And US lawyers are generally entrepreneurial, and they tend to just have a healthy risk appetite for sort of sharing and allocating risk and apportioning it with funders.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, and you mentioned this earlier, is Orchard is an asset manager, so as opposed to a pure litigation funder. What would you say are the advantages of the asset manager model when you're operating in the litigation funding space?
I mean, if I look back to just personally in my career, my first day on the trading floor at Barclays, having come from private practice law before, you know, I just saw how that financial services environment differs so much from that sort of potentially more academic legal environment. And as I mentioned, you know, we consider Orchard here that we're offering financial services solutions primarily, or, you know, albeit whilst using the benefit of our legal expertise alongside that. So I spoke earlier about the mindset and expertise available at Orchard, and you know, even our leadership team has worked at senior levels within asset management firms, investment banks, and even at financial regulatory authorities. And a key impact of all this experience swimming around the firm is that, you know, it provides flexibility to fund opportunities perhaps where others are unable to. And we know that because the claimant or law firm has come to us and told us that, you know, that this isn't the first approach for funding, and we've managed to get something over the line for them. And we can implement a range of different investment strategies that just bring, you know, a distinct perspective to perhaps the more traditional funding offering. And it's important to point out that whilst we have access to this wider pool of resource and expertise, within the litigation finance team itself, which is a small team, you know, it's a lean operation here, we maintain clearly defined roles. You know, each team member owns every aspect of the deal process, the sourcing, origination, pricing, you know, looking at the legal merits, the deal documentation, running it past the investment committee. And we think that this removes an element of friction in the pipeline that you often find when you're handing off a matter from an originator, then to a pricing professional, then to a due diligence reviewer, and so on. And also, when a funder is reliant on an internal legal specialist to review a particular type of case, and that professional perhaps doesn't have sufficient bandwidth, you know, our approach, we feel, provides a much better client experience for our counterparties, and then they are then able to develop those deep working relationships with the investment team, and that also helps in the sort of repeat business element of our pipeline. But just a point about co-funding, because some funders sort of see co-funding as you know, they see other funders as competition, but we very much don't have that that mindset, and we're very, very collaborative, and as a result, we've benefited from mutually successful co-funding relationships and strategic partnerships that, you know, that we've developed. And we think that because we have this multi-strat asset manager structure and strategy, we're often not seen by funders as competitors. And that's opened up sources of origination of opportunities and the risk sharing. And that's just with, you know, the dedicated and the established litigation funders. If you then look to the sort of hedge fund entrants into this market who have capital to deploy, but, you know, need an experienced funder to partner with and lean in on case origination and evaluation, we've also, you know, co-funded with those players as well. So it's because we're sort of sitting in the middle that we can sort of look to both sides and seek sources of co-funding and risk sharing. Our global platform at Orchard is highly regarded. It's well established. It's already backed by top tier institutional investors. And I think this caliber alone, you know, probably provides quite a degree of comfort to the claimant and law firm network that we are, you know, we're a serious fixture in this industry, and we've access to significant pools of capital. And operationally, Orchard already has 15 years significant experience in fundraising, structuring, and fund management, together with this strong network of investor relationships, all of which, you know, has just been very, very supportive to the litigation finance team's activities.
I want to ask you about COVID and the impact that COVID has had on your investment thesis, if there has been an impact. What have you noticed over the past year in terms of how the industry has been impacted by COVID, by the lockdowns, and what are you anticipating as we hopefully begin to emerge from these lockdowns?
Sure. I mean, look, we're extremely lucky to work in this industry. And I say that both generally because, it, you know, for me, it's such an exciting, it's interesting, it's intellectually rewarding, it's a great environment to work in. But because overall, obviously, thankfully, the industry has been less negatively impacted by COVID than, you know, so many others have. And actually, if you adopt, you know, medium term view, the pipeline is likely to be positively impacted over the events of the last 18 months. And that is already, you know, we're already beginning to see that. So in terms of opportunity going forward, we see a high demand for litigation funding for two reasons, because there just will be more claims generally. But then there will just be an increased use of litigation finance as a tool to fund claims. And just touching on the increase in the number of claims that we're expecting to foresee, you know, we've already seen COVID-related claims being launched, for example, with business interruption type insurance claims. If we look forward, an area that we're looking at, as I'm sure many other funders are, is insolvency. Insolvency practitioners are anticipating a slew of claims over the next 12 to 18 months. You know, actually, currently insolvency levels in the UK are at a record low. But the reason they are at a record low, you know, this is artificial. Many businesses are just being supported by the emergency measures that have been implemented by the government. And once these are withdrawn or tapered, we and many others anticipate a backlog of insolvencies and consequently of insolvency practitioners seeking to maximise the recoveries to creditors. And one way of doing that is through, you know, sort of sourcing external funding for any meritorious claims that they have on the books. But secondly, you know, we really think there will be an increased preference for claimants to source third-party funding for claims. in a climate of economic uncertainty, more claimants are unable or unwilling to risk their own capital to fund claims, and they would prefer, quite rightly, to deploy their resources on more business critical activities. Now, COVID, of course, generated procedural and operational complexities for funders, but overall, our experience is, and we hopefully are coming out the other side of it, that it was manageable. I mean, there were, of course, some procedural delays which impacted our existing portfolio cases, especially at the outset, you know, over a year ago in Q1 2020, when hearing dates were postponed, and there would always be an accompanying funding cost because they duplicate, you know, duplication of work and just other hard costs that accrue. But in the UK, and I think this happened globally as well, you know, we saw relatively quick and largely seamless adoption of technology by courts and practitioners to support virtual hearings. And I remember when this first happened, we were debating sensitivities around, for example, the giving of witness evidence in fraud cases. You know, would cross-questioning defendants be effective virtually, or would, you know, the virtual media maybe provide an additional layer of protection for them? And we also had virtual hearings where there were occasional IT delays, but otherwise it was predominantly effective. You know, and there were no lawyers turning into cats, thankfully, as we saw on your side of the pond. We also experienced delays in launch preparations for group claims for opt-in cases, where, you know, marketing and book building activities from the legal team just were necessarily delayed. There was progress in, you know, in registering interest, in initial data gathering, fell behind schedule by around a quarter or so, often just merely due to the disruptions caused by full-time remote working on the claimant side. But mostly this has already resolved itself, and progress, you know, has picked up considerably since then.
Okay, so final question here, Ben. The previous guest on our podcast, Elena Ray of Brown Rudnick, she is working on standardizing documentation for litigation funding agreements for the UK and also the EU. So I want to get your take on this as a UK-based funder. What is the need for standardized documentation? How helpful will something like that be in optimizing the funding process and potentially bringing down costs as well?
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to that episode. And, you know, of course, you know, would absolutely support any move for transparency to assist claimants, you know, in understanding the operation and the effect of the funding arrangements. I think Elena said that the model documents hadn't yet been produced, that they were sort of on course for, you know, scheduling for Q2 this year. And also that as Orchard's not part of the working group, I can't comment on any working drafts. But in our industry, you know, the funding and the security arrangements are typically concluded in advance of a claim. And in some cases, they may not then be referred to for up to sort of 4 to 5 years afterwards. And in the most basic single case financing structure, there are already three counterparties, you know, namely funder, claimant and lawyer. And it's just not helpful for anyone to be, you know, scrutinizing, you know, an opaque funding agreement years later to understand, for example, what order proceeds need to be distributed in. There's plainly a requirement for clear drafting that ensures, you know, you capture the rights and obligations of each party clearly at the outset. And again, when I was on the derivatives sales and trading desk at Barclays, you know, we transacted under the suite of ISDA documentation, where you have a master schedule in standard form, but then there's a mechanism where the parties can introduce bespoke terms to the deal in the schedule. And that clearly, you know, has improved transparency, it's been cost effective, and it's bolstered market liquidity. So you can definitely imagine a scenario where there are different model documents for different types of litigation finance transactions, single case, portfolio, and actually, as mentioned in that podcast episode, for the secondary market, which is currently quite nascent. And it's a useful exercise at least to consider what standard terms might be for those types of transactions. But, you know, to play devil's advocate, you know, these products are not yet commoditized. And, you know, funders do need the flexibility to set their own terms. And certainly while certain elements of the marketplace mature, there's no one-size-fits-all approach. You know, the parties still need to devote time and attention to the specific nature of the funding arrangements that should apply to the envisaged transaction. And, you know, it's finally, it's just worth highlighting Orchard as a member of the Association of Litigation Funders. It's already had its funding documentation deemed to be compliant by the self-regulating body.
Well, that's really great. And Ben, we appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing all your thoughts on the entering the commercial litigation funding space. Obviously, Orchard being differentiated as an asset manager, they have a really unique approach to this market. So we appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts today.
John, thanks very much for the invite. It's an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're interested in learning more about what Ben is up to and what Orchard Group is up to, you can feel free to reach out to Ben Moss at Orchard Group. So thank you all for listening. We hope to see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.